instructions by Dick Cheney's former chief of staff that George Bush approved a leak of classified pre-war intelligence on Iraq to reporters. The head of the Democratic Party, Howard Dean, says Lewis Libby's testimony shows Bush can no longer be trusted to keep America safe. Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer says he's certain this goes way beyond Scooter Libby. He wants Bush and Cheney to explain. There's no indication in the filing that either Bush or Cheney authorized Libby to unveil the name of CIA agent Valerie Plame, but a conversation in which her name was used came soon after Bush supposedly approved the disclosure of certain information. George Bush says today he's glad that lawmakers are near a deal on immigration legislation, and he's pushing them to work hard and get the bill done, he says. Senate Republicans and Democrats say they made a breakthrough and are closing in on a compromise on immigration. That effort could pave the way to giving illegal immigrants legal status and eventual citizenship. It would be the Senate's most sweeping immigration bill in two decades. Britain has confirmed its first case of a deadly strain of bird flu in a swan in Scotland. The European Union says the dead swan makes Britain the 13th EU country to report cases of the deadly H5N1 strain in wild birds. A British official says there are, quote, no implications for public health or consumers, but the government will step up the checks on Scottish nature preserves, he said, to see whether other birds are infected. City officials in Glasgow say two other dead swans are now also being tested to see if they, too, had bird flu. This is Air America Radio News.
administration, I want to know who it is. If it's a violated law, the person will be taken care of.
Hey, Truth Seekers. Good evening. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Apologize for that first little sound drop there. We have much better sound for you this evening. I think you're going to be not surprised, not blown away, but it's good to reiterate what this imposter said 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, and what his press secretary said. We have the sound for you. That's the beautiful the beautiful part of digital recordings. They last forever. And I've said it a million times, we have a sound file here that goes back 5.5 years, all the way back to the beginning of this thug. So you can't escape, George. We've got the in your own words. Are we clear on what was revealed today? I watched some of the network news tonight because and what's his name over on CNN, Lou Dobbs, because I wanted to see how this is being presented. And sure enough, it's not being presented as the critical situation that it is. But you and I, are we clear on what was revealed today? The two top executive officers in the United States government have now, with no doubt whatsoever, revealed themselves to be incapable of leadership. Have they committed impeachable offenses? I don't know if what was revealed today qualifies as impeachable offenses. I have heard over and over and over by people a lot smarter than I am that they didn't break the law. But then I heard Richard Nixon say that when the president does it, it doesn't violate the law. All I know is that we have had a series, a string of events, ever since this punk stole the presidency, a series of events that display his lack of character, his immorality or amorality, the thievery, the viciousness of this crime family. Through this man's nasty and coarse leadership, he's made this country so ugly again. You know, we were starting to climb out of it during the Clinton years. That's one thing I will give Bill Clinton. This country was starting to climb out of it. And then Bush comes back, and Bush shows up. Racism is on the rise. Homophobic attacks are up. Sex attacks against kids. An anti-woman bias is steadily rising. Abortion is up. Crime is starting to rise again. Look at the hideous events at Duke University. Duke University! Look at Abu Ghraib. Look at Guantanamo. Look what this son of a bitch has done to my country with his bully pulpit. In the 90s, yeah, during the Clinton years, so many of the rough spots in this country seem to begin to even. Oh, I know. Don't hit me with the politics of Clinton. I disagree with half of what he did too. I'm talking about the attitude in the country. Bush has made it acceptable to be a racist, a liar, a cheat, a bully. I have never seen anything like this, and he's also given a huge boost to this sick, perverted brand of Christianity called dominionism that is so ugly, so destructive, has the potential to push this entire planet into a death spiral, all for their crazed beliefs that we're in their self-proclaimed end times. It's sick. This is what this evil little man has done. So are we clear on what was revealed today? Just another business-as-usual situation for the Bush crime family. This little rat bastard has been lying since this event occurred. Just a steady stream, and we've got him, in his own words. He actually claims he doesn't remember if he outed Valerie Plame. He doesn't remember if he put our national security at risk. He doesn't remember how many lives he cost other covert operatives, their assets, as they're called. He doesn't remember how much he cost taxpayers in years and years and years of building these so-called assets. Do I like the CIA? Hell no. I despise the CIA. But as long as that's the way the game is being played, Bush has a right to jump in and expose people and cause people to die. this murderous little bastard. What a reckless criminal. What an outrageous, reckless criminal. And it's all so commonplace to him that all of this stuff just slipped his mind. What else has he forgotten he's done? Could he have, say, ordered a bunch of innocent Iraqis to be rendered and tortured? And that just slipped his mind, too? He says we don't sanction torture. But maybe that's just one more convenient forgetting. Like the lie about uranium from Niger and not knowing who the leaker is. Maybe he suffered total memory loss from too many years abusing booze and illegal drugs. Or maybe he's suffering chronic amnesia. Or maybe that harridan of a mother of his terrorized him so much as a kid that he's got some kind of multiple personality disorder as an adult. And one of his personalities likes to out covert CIA agents and start illegal wars. And the other ones don't remember anything. I didn't do that. All right, we're going to take a trip down into the Wayback Machine to the fall of 2003. We didn't even work for this network then, did we? Fall of 2003. We're going to offer you a refresher. We're going to offer Bush a refresher. Some of his own words and the quacking quackaroo, Simple Scotty as well. What a useless piece of scum on the bottom of your shoe is Scott McClellan, huh? I particularly like the part where Bush asserts twice that outing a CIA agent is a serious crime. Oh, God. But I'll tell you where I want to start tonight. By now, probably everybody in the country has heard of Harry Taylor. He got a chance Thursday, today, to do what most normal people across the country have wanted to do for a long time. He stood up and figuratively gave George Bush the finger in Charlotte, right? Until this guy Taylor came along, nobody in any of these carefully selected audiences had ever gotten in Bush's face like this. No one had really brought up directly, as Peter Baker in the Washington Post says, the issues of war and liberty that are at the heart of both his presidency and his political troubles. And no one had given Bush the opportunity to look so unbothered by dissent. Now, you know what this guy did. We're going to play it for you here. But after he made his statement, Bush boasted of building democracy and rebuilding infrastructure in Iraq. Of course, he didn't mention that his administration is scaling back funding for both of these goals. See, Bush is a liar as well as being an uninformed little creep. The audience cheered as he slipped off his coat to take questions. The forum was sponsored by the nonpartisan World Affairs Council of Charlotte. Oh, yeah, okay. Nearly 1,000 people were invited. Many of those who stood to speak had only polite inquiries or statements of support. One man told Bush he prayed for him. Oh, I pray for you. A woman asked to have her picture taken with him and predicted, you will be vindicated. Asked by another man what he would do differently, Bush mentioned the detainee abuse at Abu Ghraib. Wish I could do that one over, he said. And then came this guy, Taylor. Harry Taylor, 61 years old, commercial real estate broker. Let's play. We got time to play it now? Okay. All right, let's play Mr. Taylor and Bush's response.
You talk about freedom. I see you assert your right to tap my telephone, to arrest me and hold me without charges, to try to preclude me from breathing clean air and drinking clean water and eating safe food. If I were a woman, you'd like to restrict my opportunity to make a choice. And
I'm not your favorite guy. Go ahead.
Oh, clap, 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 clap. Clap, 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 clap.
I've never felt more ashamed of nor more frightened by my leadership in Washington, including the presidency, by the Senate and
let her
say.
Let her speak.
Yeah. I feel like, despite your rhetoric, that compassion and common sense have been left far behind during your administration. And And I would hope from time to time that you have the humility and the grace to be ashamed of yourself, inside yourself.
I'm going to start off with what you first said, if you don't mind. You said that I tap your phones. I'm not going to apologize for what I did on the terror surveillance program. If we're at war, we ought to be using tools necessary within the Constitution on a very limited basis, a program that's reviewed constantly.
Oh, you liar.
To protect us. Now,
yeah,
you and I have a different of agreement on what is needed to be protected. But you said, would I apologize for that? The answer is absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Of course not. Why should he apologize? He's a little pissant tyrant. Taylor said afterwards, I didn't care about his response. I wanted to say what I wanted to say, and I wanted him to know that despite being in a room with 1,000 people who love him, there are plenty of people out there who don't agree with him in any way, shape, or form. Well, hats off to Harry Taylor. And if you saw the video, and the video's out there, it's all over the place online, you can get it. If you watch the video, you watch Bush's body language as Harry Taylor is stating his case in his Harry Taylor's 2 minutes of standing up to this guy. I swear to God, I think Harry Taylor is an extremely brave man. He walked in there knowing he was with people who would have gotten on their knees and done for George what Monica did for Bill in half a heartbeat. He knew that. And he stood up, and his voice didn't waver, and his knees didn't shake. And he stood up, and he said to the man who carries in his hip pocket more destructive power than every other tyrant in the history of the world, and Harry Taylor told that man to piss off.
Well, I think I'm a toughie. I'm a toughie. I'm the toughie.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Spring is here, and everywhere you look, the colors are in full bloom. Even at your neighborhood Ace Hardware. We have thousands of the trendiest paint colors, and better yet, we can custom match any color you bring in. Hurry into Ace Hardware today for a great deal on Ace Royal Flat Interior Paint. Buy up to 10 gallons of Ace Royal for just $13.99 each after a $5 mail-in rebate. See store for details. Ace, the helpful place.
I'm so glad you got tickets to this concert.
Definitely. This guy's put on a killer show.
Great, let's go.
Wait, it's just the open band. Let's get a little stone first. It's crazy strong. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, The Anti-Drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
because life's too short to listen to right-wing radio. It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 23 past the hour. Jay, in commenting on that little piece of audio that we had for you, the video of Mr. Taylor and Bush, Jay writes, saw Bush's sociopathy and arrogance today big time. His demeanor during and after that questioning should scare the hell out of anyone not already scared. He's acting untouchable and as if he's enjoying it. What is making him and Cheney seem so confident? Yeah. I've got something here from Bob Schieffer. This is from last summer, July 17th. It was a Sunday, Face the Nation. And the subject of the program had been the search for the leaker. And last summer it had been going on for a couple of years. So I'm playing this because Bob Schieffer, I of all the people on in the anchor seats around, I guess, I don't know anymore, but I guess I have more respect. Go ahead and say it. More respect for Bob Schieffer than the rest of them. I was going to try to figure out a less definitive statement, less fear that the man is lying to me. But I don't know, more respect for Schieffer. But although I think a lot of these guys that I might have respect for and these women I might have respect for maintain their naivete or their ignorance deliberately so that they don't learn the truth and freak. But I want to play for you here Bob Schieffer from Face the Nation back July 17th on wondering why Bush couldn't find the leaker.
Instead of appointing a special prosecutor, what if the president had just called in his top people in the beginning of all this and said, folks, we have a problem here. I need to know who's been talking to Bob Novak, and I need to know today by the end of business. That's what presidents used to do, and they're usually pretty good at finding out when they really want to know. Not many people had the nerve to lie to Lyndon Johnson when he looked them in the eye, and Richard Nixon figured out early on who Deep Throat was, and now we know from Woodward and Bernstein that on that one, Nixon was right. Instead, this White House did what it usually does when challenged. It went into attack mode, called charges that the White House had leaked the name ridiculous, and allowed the controversy to boil until a special prosecutor had to be appointed. Now, 2 years and millions of tax dollars later, the president's trusted friend and strategist, Karl Rove, has emerged as the top suspect, and we're left to wonder, can anything said from the White House podium be taken at face value, or does the White House just deny automatically anything that reflects badly on it? This could and should have been dealt with inside the White House long before it reached the special prosecutor level. Instead, the president's people followed the modern public relations rule, never admit a mistake, just do what is necessary to kill the story before it kills you, which often works. What they are learning, though, is that when that involves tearing down the character of your critics, it can also be very dangerous business.
When we come back, George W. Bush, in his own filthy, lying words.
I lost my ignorance, security and pride. I'm all alone, not you must despise. I read your promises, your promises and lies.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Okay, here's something to think about. April 15th is around the corner. You only have a few days left to get your taxes done, and you don't even have an appointment at one of those tax prep stores. Don't panic. Log on to TurboTax.com. You just answer simple questions, and TurboTax fills in all the right forms. And when you're done, you can e-file and get confirmation that the IRS received your return. No wonder millions of Americans use TurboTax. And you know what? I bet a lot of them started even later than you.
TurboTax.com. Log on, and you're done.
Have you ever found a penny on the ground? Of course you have. Well, imagine that for the next 50,000 steps you take, there's always a penny at your feet. It feels like that.
Have you ever put on a pair of clean pants and found a $20 bill in the pocket? Man, that's a good feeling, right? Well, take that feeling and multiply it by 25 pairs of pants, and you're close.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
Hey, truth seekers, the Republican fools put an idiot in the White House. Bush's war machine is bankrupting our country, and middle-class America is screwed again. Hi, I'm Mike Malloy, and it's time Bush and his cronies get what they deserve, and you can be the one to make it happen. Go to ImpeachBushGame.com. That's ImpeachBushGame.com, and get your revenge by sending a conservative criminal to federal prison or to the Iraq War. Impeached doesn't pull any punches, folks. And if you haven't ordered your game yet, go to ImpeachBushGame.com and do it today.
Before I almost died from a staph infection, I came close to losing my leg. Before I came close to losing my leg, I started living on the streets. Before I started living on the streets, I thought everyone wanted to kill me. Before I thought everyone wanted to kill me, I quit eating. Before I quit eating, I never felt so good. Before I never felt so good, I tried meth. End meth at drugfree.org/Michael. A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Your host for a Pian's Brian's Future, it's Mike Malloy.
Okay, 26 before the hour. Let's slide into the Wayback Machine here. Back in 2003, when there was mounting pressure on this crime family to aggressively pursue the anonymous so-called senior administration official who outed Valerie Plame, reporters were pressing Bush and McClellan to explain why there was so much foot dragging. Why not just get a staff together, like Bob Schieffer said, and ask each one if they did it? Okay, now you know why. Now we know that Bush himself authorized the leak, but you got to listen to him at the time, either suffering serious mental problems or simply lying through his teeth when he repeats over and over and over that he didn't know who the leaker was, but he wanted to find out. And now he justifies his activities, his criminal activities with the Nixon defense. If the president does it, it's not illegal. And since Bush declassified all this information and exposed this non-official operative, it's okay. So it's okay to classify and declassify information on purely political whims? To this psychopath, the answer is yes. All right, let's go back. October 6th, 2003. Reporter says, Mr. President, on another issue, the CIA leakgate. What is your confidence level in the results of the Department of Justice investigation about any of your staffers not being found guilty or being found guilty? And what do you say to critics of the administration who say that this administration retaliates against naysayers?
It's a very serious matter, and our administration takes it seriously.
Okay, that's the wrong one. Let's stop. Let's stop there, and we'll try it again. Okay, we're missing a first line. All right, the first line out of Bush's mouth. Have you got it re-queued up, Kathy? The first line is, "I don't know who leaked the information." For starters,
a health savings account is a.
Okay, let's pause for a second here and re-cue everything, because now we've got it all uncued. You all set now? Okay. This is Bush being asked about his level of confidence in the results of the Department of Justice investigation. He starts out by answering, "I don't know who leaked the information," for starters.
It's a very serious matter, and our administration takes it seriously. We will cooperate fully with the Justice Department. I've got all the confidence in the world. The Justice Department will do a good, thorough job. And that's exactly what I want them to do, is a good, thorough job. I'd like to know who leaked. And if anybody's got any information inside our government or outside our government who leaked, we ought to take it to the Justice Department, so we can find out the leaker.
It's astonishing. Now, remember, Ashcroft was the attorney general back then. Ashcroft, who is probably more of a criminal than anyone who's ever occupied the attorney general's office. But he's when he talks about we'll fully cooperate with the Justice Department, he's talking about John Ashcroft. All right, continuing to answer that question, he goes on to say this.
I've told my staff I want full cooperation with the Justice Department. When they ask for information, we expect the information to be delivered on a timely basis. I expect it to be delivered on a timely basis. I want there to be full participation. And if this helps stop leaks of this investigation and finding the truth, it'll not only hold someone to account who should not have leaked. And this is a serious charge, by the way. We're talking about a criminal action.
Oh.
And... but also hopefully will help set a clear signal. We expect other leaks to stop as well. And so I look forward to finding the truth.
So in your own words, Chuckle Nuts, you say we're talking about a criminal action. Will you resign now, you thug? Will you resign now? All Also from October 6, 2003, reporter says, what about retaliation, Mr. President? People are saying that the outing of the agent was retaliation.
I don't know who leaked the information, for starters, so it's hard for me to answer that question until I find out the truth. I mean, you hear all kinds of rumors.
Oh, my God.
And the best way to clarify the issue is to full participation with the Justice Department. These are professionals who are professional prosecutors who are leading this investigation, and we look forward to... Look, I want to know. I want to know... And the best way to do this is for there to be a good, thorough investigation, which apparently is going to happen soon.
Is the man schizophrenic? No, I'm serious. I think he's crazier than a loon. I think he's a psychopath. I think he ought to be taken out of office. But raising the level of that question a little bit to a more scientific approach, is this guy schizophrenic? Does he have a repressed evil twin that runs around outing covert agents and attacking innocent nations, and then he sits back on his ass and says, "Oh, I want to know who I want to know who did this." October 28th, 2003. Reporter named Dana says, "Mr. President, many experts in such investigations say you can find if there was a leaker in the White House within hours." If you asked all staff members to sign affidavits denying involvement, why not take that step?
Well, the best person to do that, Dana, so that the best group of people to do that, so that you believe the answer, is the professionals at the Justice Department.
Yeah.
And they're moving forward with the investigation. It's a criminal investigation. It is an important investigation. I'd like to know if somebody in my White House did leak sensitive information. As you know, I've been outspoken on leaks. Whether they happen in the White House or happen in the administration or happen on Capitol Hill, they can be very damaging.
That's the second time here that you've admitted that you're a criminal. It's a criminal investigation. Criminal investigation. You want to know, huh? You'd like to know if somebody in your White House leaked sensitive information. Jesus. October 7th. 2003. Mr. President, beyond the actual leak of classified information, there are reports that someone in the administration was trying to actively spread the story, even calling Ambassador Wilson's wife fair game. Are you asking your staff if anyone did that?
This is a town of where a lot of people leak. And I've constantly expressed my displeasure with leaks, particularly leaks of classified information, and I want to know. I want to know the truth. I want to see to it that the truth prevail. And I hope we can get this investigation done in a thorough way as quickly as possible.
It's astonishing, isn't it? It's astonishing. Either George W. Bush is mad, clinically insane, And has a duality inside his coked out brain that qualifies as schizophrenic, or he's one of the best liars ever to occupy the Oval Office. Now, why did we impeach Bill Clinton? Well, that's right, he lied about oral sex. Okay. October 17th, 2003, cabinet meeting. Mr. President, how confident are you that the investigation will find the leaker, the unnamed senior administration official in the CIA case?
You tell me, how many sources have you had that's leaked information that you've exposed or have been exposed? Probably none. I mean, this town is a town full of people who like to leak information. And I don't know if we're going to find out the senior administration official. Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea. I'd like to. I want to know the truth. That's why I've instructed this staff of mine to cooperate fully with the investigators. Full disclosure, everything we know, the investigators will find out. I have no idea whether we'll find out who the leaker is. Partially because, in all due respect to your profession, you do a very good job of protecting the leakers. But we'll find out.
Oh, you son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. blame the reporters while it's Bush himself. And he knows this. Is he schizophrenic? No. He's a sociopath. He's a potential, actualized killer. He's a liar. But listen to him. Listen to him. From September 30th, 03. Do you think that the Justice Department can conduct an impartial investigation, considering the political ramifications of the CIA leak? And why wouldn't a special counsel be better?
If there's a leak out of my administration, I want to know who it is. If it's a violated law, the person will be taken care of. And so I welcome the investigation. I'm absolutely confident the Justice Department will do a very good job.
Oh, man. This is a bad day. This is a bad day for this republic. This is a very bad day. According to the information released during the investigation, Irving Libby has identified the two people who instructed him to pass on the information to Judith Miller at the New York Times. And apparently anyone else who had their favor, like Bob Novak and Bob Woodward, to pass on information that, in doing so, resulted in the commission of a crime. And when Cheney told Libby to do it, and Libby said, no, I can't do that because I'll be committing a crime. This is classified information. Cheney came back with, it's been authorized by the president. And you know, the president, of course, is above the law.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Dude, I'm in trouble.
Why?
I haven't done my taxes yet. I don't have an appointment anywhere. I can't figure out the forms for myself. I'm done for.
Whoa, relax.
I'm gonna have to change my name and leave the country.
Just go to TurboTax.com. They have everything you need to get your taxes done quickly.
TurboTax.com?
Yep, you just answer simple questions and it fills in all the right forms. It checks for errors and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Sounds easy.
You can even e-file and get confirmation that the IRS received your return.
Well, that sounds a lot easier than what I was planning.
Learn more at TurboTax.com. Log on and you're done.
Spring is here, and everywhere you look, the colors are in full bloom. Even at your neighborhood Ace Hardware. We have thousands of the trendiest paint colors. And better yet, we can custom match any color you bring in. Hurry into Ace Hardware today for a great deal on Ace Royal Flat Interior Paint. Buy up to 10 gallons of Ace Royal for just $13.99 each after a $5 mail-in rebate. See store for details. Ace, the helpful place.
Thank you.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 9 before the hour. A couple emails here, and we'll try to get in a phone call. When we come back after the top of the hour, I want you to hear Scott McClellan responding to reporters' questions about this issue, now that you've heard Bush. This is an astonishing day. I wonder if there are any Republicans in the House or the Senate who can sit down tonight and say, we've got to get rid of this son of a bitch. He's destroying the country, and we need at least leadership that can maintain interest of at least half the population while we rape and plunder and steal. With Bush being exposed and Cheney being exposed, we got to get rid of these guys because they're making it difficult for us to rape, plunder, and steal. I wonder if that'll happen. Kathy in New York writes in regarding the guy in Charlotte who stood up to Bush. Kathy writes, our friend Mr. Taylor has me thinking about what I'd like to say to George. I might say I don't believe Mr. Libby's testimony that you gave approval through your vice president to out a CIA operative. I think Mr. Cheney lied to Mr. Libby. I think you should fire Mr. Cheney and then resign. You can't handle the job. Or I could just ask him how many voices he hears in his head. From Mark, once again, Mr. Bush proves he's not listening. Mr. Taylor hoped that the president would feel ashamed, not that he would apologize. Yeah, that's a good point, Mark. Bush said he's not going to apologize. Mr. Taylor said he hoped he felt ashamed. Mark writes, Bush has no way of experiencing shame. Sociopaths never do. As far as he's concerned, he's never made a mistake, nor will he ever make one. It's always someone else's fault. Accountability is a completely alien concept to the spoiled brat that is our king. Yeah. Joanne in San Francisco writes, the charge against Louis Libby is that because he lied, the government was unable to investigate and uncover evidence of a conspiracy to out an undercover agent of the CIA. Switch now to New York City. Zacharias Moussaoui is being tried in the penalty phase. The charge is that because he lied, the government was unable to investigate and uncover evidence of a conspiracy to commit an act of terrorism. Mm-hmm. From Doug in Memphis. Mike, I need to vent. I just finished a conversation with an idiot. It started when I commented that the news that Bush okayed the CIA leak was not news to most of us who don't have our heads up our behinds. This idiot even thought that Valerie Plame, being an NOC, which is non-official cover, that's CIA officers pose as American business people and recruit agents from businesses. And when you're working under non-official cover, you're really, really, it's kind of like Mission Impossible. The director, if caught, the director will deny your existence, that sort of thing. But anyway, Doug writes, the idiot even thought that Valerie Plame, being an NOC, being a NOC, was public knowledge, even to the point that perhaps her husband, Joe Wilson, did it for publicity's sake. I have all I can do just to keep from slapping the crap out of these stupid, dumb people. I then attempted to give him a lesson in fact as opposed to BS. His reply was that he listens to all the news on TV and radio. He then derisively questioned, where do you get your news? Then he pointed to my laptop. On those blogs, one of his responses to the Cynthia McKinney situation was, why should an arrogant black lady be so special? And to top all this, he believes that Bush doesn't intentionally do all this evil stuff. I'm almost at the point of beating myself in the head with a brick until I'm dead. I really care about this country and humankind. Does that mean that these dumb bastards are included? Could we perhaps look at euthanasia for these stupid, worthless people as a viable alternative? I don't know whether to just sit down and weep, leave this sorry-ass place, or just commit silly side. I used to be vehement in Vegas, and now I'm mad in Memphis, Doug. Right. All right, let's get a call. Do we have time? Yeah, we can get a call in here. Let's get a call in here. How about Will, who's calling in from Brooklyn, New York? Will, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Just want to point out how Libby's indictment on Bush was through Cheney, and how it was typical of the administration that Cheney really is the trigger man, whether he's hunting a bird or a lawyer, authorizing the shoot-down order of a plane during 9/11. There was some confusion there as to who really ordered that, as well as a leaking plane's ID and Brewster Williams, that front company she was working for, setting back the weapons of mass destruction tracking programs by that.
So you think Cheney lied to Libby? You think Cheney is the one who said, oh, yeah, George told me to tell you, go ahead?
Mm-hmm, possibly. I mean, that's been the M.O. In terms of, like, the shoot-down order, too. It was definitely, there was confusion.
You know, I think you may be right on some of the stuff. I think Cheney acts totally independent of Bush. But, you know, he's a freelance a killer. But I think Bush is an vindictive, ugly, bully little man. And in a situation like Valerie Plame or justification for the war in Iraq, this has the stench of George Bush on it. Although
really, even though he claimed earlier to say, I'd like to know about whoever might have leaked the name and whoever was involved would be fired now that the... It seems like the
I know. But you're listening to it with a rational mind, and so do I. And Bush is irrational. Hey, I have to leave it there. Thanks, Will. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be right back. When we come back, Scott McClellan, in his own words. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Florida Governor Jeb Bush says he's got concerns about the Katherine Harris Senate campaign. Bush says Harris has made the campaign about herself rather than the record of the Democratic incumbent. Harris, of course, got widespread attention during the disputed 2000 presidential election when, as the state's top election official, she certified Florida for George W. Bush. Bush says the election needs to be about Bill Nelson and the future of Florida. Republican leaders in the state have not been very enthusiastic about her bid after two terms in the House. Her top campaign officials have all recently resigned. Amid trouble raising cash, she's promised to spend $10 million of her own money to carry on the race, but polls show her trailing badly. In 2003, George Bush said he wanted to get to the bottom of the Valerie Plame leak case and that, quote, I want to know the truth. Today, a federal prosecutor's version suggests Bush and Dick Cheney played a key role in that case. A court filing by prosecutors did not say that Bush or Cheney disclosed Plame's CIA identity, but it pointed to them as setting in motion the leak campaign to the press that resulted in blowing Plame's cover. The court filing by special counsel Patrick Fitzgerald puts Bush at the top of the pyramid that ended with Cheney Chief of Staff Louis Scooter Libby feeding a reporter previously classified intelligence on Iraq. Democrats reacted to the revelations, Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid saying Bush must fully disclose his participation in the selective leaking of classified information. The American people must know the truth. On the floor of the Senate, Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois said Bush and Cheney, quote, must be held accountable for misleading the American people, accountable for the disclosure of classified material for political purposes. Durbin said it is as serious as it gets in this democracy. White House spokesman Scott McClellan said the White House would have no comment on the ongoing investigation. Hurricane season just months away, and George Bush wants the acting director of the Federal Emergency Management Agency to take the job permanently. He's nominated David Paulinson to be the chief of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Paulinson took over at FEMA back in September when Michael Brown quit in the face of strong criticism over the agency's sluggish response to Hurricane Katrina. Paulinson would have to be confirmed by the Senate. This is Air America Radio News.
It's about 7 past the hour. All right, we've got Scott McClellan. This is also from 2003. Before we get to it, a couple of emails here very quickly. This is from Diane in Florida. Mike, I've had the misfortune to know in my life two sociopaths who were literally pathological liars. Among their many unpleasant characteristics was that they did not appear to have the same built-in alarm system that most of us do with regard to the truth. I know that when I'm lying, and I find it so intellectually... intellectually disturbing that it is physically unpleasant. I would never pass a lie detector test, but they would. At any given time, reality was whatever suited them. Without compunction, they said whatever would get them what they wanted at the time, without, as far as I could tell, any concern whether what they said was true or even consistent with prior statements. Reality was malleable. When I look at Bush, I see the same kind of sociopathic liar. It not only doesn't bother him in the slightest to lie, he may not even sense that he is lying. For him, reality is a moving target, and when reality doesn't suit you, you shape it to your wants and needs at the time, if only for effect. Being a pathological liar makes for a good con man, an untrustworthy acquaintance or colleague, and a very dangerous leader, because one thing became very clear about the two I knew. They had no boundaries to their behavior. No boundaries to achieve their aims. None. Master Miller writes, after all the nonsense I had to hear about Cynthia McKinney committing a crime this week, are the right-wing thugs in the House going to step up and impeach Bush? Debbie writes, so our tax dollars go to pay for an investigation that never had to be done. I'm as pissed off as you are, Mike. These tapes you're playing should have been all over the evening news. Unbelievable stuff. I'm not surprised by much anymore, but this did surprise me. They're incredibly stupid on top of everything else. I'm sick. I'm sick because even this probably won't get this liar out of office. And Musim writes in, Mike, why are so many people afraid of this man? I don't know. Maybe it's the nuclear weapons he can throw around. I don't know. All right. September 29th, 2003. Helen Thomas at the White House press briefing says, Scott, has the president tried to find out who outed the CIA agent? And has he fired anyone at the White House yet?
Oh, Helen, that's assuming a lot of things. First of all, that is not the way this White House operates. The president expects everyone in his administration to adhere to the highest standards of conduct. No one would be authorized to do such a thing.
Oh, Jesus.
Secondly, I've seen the anonymous media reports. If I could find out who anonymous was, it would make my life a whole lot easier.
Well, your life's going to get easier anyway, Scott, because I would imagine you're the next one out. If you had any decency, you would resign. Once a press secretary realizes that he is being lied to, no matter how venal or fake or false or corrupt the press secretary may be, his own damn self, it doesn't matter. As long as he is a mouthpiece for a spokesman or a spokeswoman for someone who is lying. And once that becomes known, then what value does the press secretary have any further? Zero. None. I would say Scott McClellan will be out of there within 10 days, if not less. And I'm amazed. I'm amazed that he hasn't resigned. He'll land on his feet. He'll get another a government job. Most of these pigs that work in the Bush crime family cannot find work anyplace else. They can wind up on boards of directors where they can, suck off a certain amount of the profits, be paid a certain amount. But as far as doing actual work, but Scott doesn't need to worry because he has done the king's bidding now for a couple, 3 years. He'll be just fine. Look for Scott McClellan to be gone. Also, September 29, 2003, reporter says, Scott, since the president takes it so seriously and since the revelation was made 2.5 months ago, why does the president only now, since others have called for a Department of Justice inquiry, support that action?
All I can tell you is what I've seen in the media reports, and I've seen different statements in the media reports from the CIA hasn't confirmed or denied that this was a covert agent for the CIA. I've seen media reports to suggest that it was referred to the Department of Justice, and that and comments the Department of Justice would look into it.
Okay. Now, here's the back and forth between the reporter and Scott McClellan.
And I think I've asked and answered that.
No, but why is he not doing anything proactively?
I've been asked and answered that question. I mean, I had that asked up here. I mean, I'll go back through it. Because there's been no information that's come to our attention or been brought to our attention beyond what we've seen in the media reports. Let me finish, and then you can ask a question. I've seen the anonymous media reports, but like I said, there are anonymous media reports all the time. Are we supposed to go chasing down every single anonymous report?
Maybe. Okay, so there you have Scott McClellan. So they have Scott McClellan trying his damnedest to cover. And I have to believe that. Well, no, I don't have to believe. I would like to believe that Scott McClellan was out of the loop. I have to believe that he was in the loop. He is the press secretary, for Christ's sake. He probably knew what was going on why Bush has taken so long to act on a leak that could have cost people their lives. This reporter, again, wants to know why it's taken so long and why Bush only now, this is September 2003, has decided to have an investigation.
I made it very clear then what I'm making clear now, that if there was no information that's come to our attention to suggest any White House involvement. So that's where things stood. But I made it very clear that that is not the way this White House operates, that the president expects people to adhere to the highest standards of conduct and the highest ethics. And he has made that very clear from day one of this administration.
Isn't that disgusting? Doesn't that make the bile in your gut come up a little bit into the back of your throat? Doesn't it? McClellan says, I made it very clear that it's not the way this White House operates. The president expects people to adhere to the highest standards of conduct and the highest ethics. Last one. Reporter says, this is when Ashcroft was Attorney General. Reporter says, Scott, you keep saying if there was a leak. But Ambassador Joe Wilson has been all over the place on ABC this morning and other media outlets saying himself that his wife was outed, that he's confirmed it, that she was a CIA operative, and that her identity has been revealed. So if that's the case, why wouldn't the president be proactive about this in trying to find out where that leak came from? Isn't the president concerned when there is a leak of this magnitude that could threaten someone's life?
If it's a quote senior administration official, we should go to every single agency. I think that's the Department of Justice can do that, and that's what they're charged with doing, so they will look into it. If there's specific information relating to the White House, someone is welcome to bring it to our attention. But I've not seen any information beyond what is in the media reports to suggest White House involvement.
Well, guess what, Scott? Guess what? Apparently there was White House involvement, you little rat bastard. And are you telling us now or then or whenever that you didn't know? You didn't know that this criminal regime that you represent, Bush and Cheney, were behind this whole thing? You didn't know? You had no idea, huh? Good God Almighty.
Well, of course not. Bush claims that, he didn't leak anything. He doesn't know. But then, of course, 2 years later, he comes out and says, well, yeah, I did it, but it's okay if I do it because I declassified it moments before I leaked it. Which makes you wonder if it was okay, why he covered it up.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, I want to take some phone calls on this topic. All right? So, I'm going to ask Dee to pick up the phone here to you folks that are on hold, and make sure you understand. I want some comments on this topic, and if you're not on hold, now's the time to get there. 866-303-2270. I want to hear what you all think about this. Stay with us.
Yeah.
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
And coast to coast, The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
Twenty-one past the hour. Okay, let's do some phone calls here. John is calling from New York. John in New York, welcome to the program.
always an honor, Mike. Thank you to you and Kathy and Molly for keeping me sane. I feel like I fell down the rabbit hole and woke up in a nightmare.
So do I.
I mean, you know, the arrogance of our, I can't even call him commander-in-chief. If this isn't the definition of obstruction of justice, to stand there for 3 years saying that he's going to root out whoever leaked, talk about hunting down leakers because they violate national security, and it was him or his Cheney? Are you kidding me?
I know, trust me, I feel your pain.
I mean, and I'm watching the news, and they're like, there's no indication that the president has done anything illegal at this point. What?
Yeah, you know, this is the part that's really pissing me off. Nothing that Bush does. Bush is a killer. Bush is a murderer. Bush is a warmonger. Bush is insane. But to watch, once again, this whorish news media we have, that's what I saw all day today. Every time these cowardly bastards reported on what was revealed in those transcripts, the grand jury testimony or wherever it was, the investigation, every time they report on it, they either preface or add an addendum to their little cheesy-ass report saying, well, now there's no laws broken. Oh, my God. Here we go again.
I know that we're only allowed to talk about this, but I just wanted to give my nomination for Katie Couric's job, and that's Harry Taylor. Thank you to him for standing up and saying something when no one else would.
Yeah, he certainly has my respect, and to watch the man stand there with a non quavering voice. Hell, my voice would have been, blah, 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 blah. I would have been shaking in my boots. Not so much because of Bush, but because I'm standing there in the middle of a sea of enemies who would like to just pull me down and rip my flesh off my bones and devour me. You know, Bush fanatics are Bush fanatics. These are people who believe that Christ has a hand and God has a hand in Bush's administration. So if you stand there and attack Bush, you're attacking Christ's brother. So Harry had an awful lot of courage, absolutely.
You know what? I want Bush to stand up under oath in front of our Senate and tell them that he won't apologize for what he did. Are you kidding me? Get some accountability back in this office.
Never happened. Never happened.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Keep up the great work.
All right, John. Thanks for checking in. You know, we played the clips, Bush denying over and over and over that he had any information about the leak, that he wanted it handled right. Interesting, that one cut where he said the Justice Department should investigate so that what he was saying is you'll believe the Justice Department, you won't believe me. Wasn't that revealing? You know, when he said that, I thought, damn, does he understand? You know, I'm not going to call that a Freudian slip or anything of the sort. I think it was Bush revealing without being aware that he was revealing the fact that he's a liar. It's astonishing. You know, when Kathy dug these up and we started listening to him, I thought, Jesus, God in heaven, this is it. Smoking gun. Here he is declaring over and over and over and over and over again his lies. And now we have sworn testimony. That's right, sworn testimony. From Irving Livy, sworn testimony that says he was instructed to do what he did by Dick Cheney, who said George Bush authorized it. Now, the only fly in the ointment here may be, you know, if ever a more evil man walked the earth than Dick Cheney, I have no idea who it is. The cosmic hoo-ha has tried a couple of times to rip his heart out, and Cheney keeps holding on to it. But this is an evil son of a bitch. This man personifies evil. So the fly in the ointment here is that old Chucklenuts is such an ignorant little moron that maybe he is out of the loop. I remember I used to feel that way about Reagan, and a lot of people said, come on, get real. Reagan knows exactly what's going on. And that probably is the case here. But consider that for just a moment, that the real evil man here, Bush would just be a psychopath, very easy to manipulate. But the real evil man, Dick Cheney, you remember Dick Cheney, the guy who went out to find a running mate for George Bush and discovered himself?
He lies, and he lies. He just lies, and he lies, and he lies, and he lies. He can lie any time, he can lie any place. He crosses his fingers and keeps a straight face. He lies, and he lies, and he lies. Too many believe him, they're bleating like sheep. Accomplices now in the liar's deceit. He lies and he lies and he lies.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit SearchDogFoundation.org. Made possible by SearchDog USA.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a silver rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here, and you can hear me, of course, on Air America Radio. If you're as fed up with the Bush crime family as I am, you need to go to ImpeachBushGame.com. That's ImpeachBushGame.com, where you can get the new board game, Impeached, that points out the lies, incompetence, and stupidity of George W. and the entire Bush crime family. You'll have fun playing this eye-opening board game that dares to peek into the Bush administration. Impeached will challenge your ability to lie, cheat, and steal. I'm for real here. Order your game now at ImpeachBushGame.com.
sister who's the only one.
I expect every member of this administration to stay well within the boundaries that define legal and ethical conduct. This means avoiding even the appearance of problems.
Yeah, sit down and shut up. According to tomorrow's Washington Post, here's what it says. A senior White House official speaking on background because administration policy prohibits comment on an active investigation. That senior White House official said Bush sees a distinction between leaks and what he, Bush, is alleged to have done. The official said Bush authorized the release of the classified information to assure the public of his rationale for war as it was coming under increasing scrutiny. Hello? Also, the official said the president has not been accused of authorizing the release of the name of Valerie Plame. The undercover CIA operative whose unmasking in a July 2003 newspaper column prompted the federal investigation. The official said, quote, there's a difference between the two. I understand that in politics, these two can be conflated, and we're going to have to try to deal with that. But there's an active investigation, and that limits our ability to do so. Close quote. You can listen to the spin, or you can listen to the little Jiminy Cricket character standing there on your shoulder who insists on the truth. So, on the one hand, the senior administration, senior White House official, who would that be? Would it be Karl Rove? Would it be this new clown? Who would it be? Who would it be? Says Bush sees a distinction between leaks and what he is alleged to have done. Well, of course he's going to say that. Yeah, I released the name, but that's not a leak. After denying that he knew who the leaker was over and over for years and years, now he says, okay, we can paraphrase here. Can you imagine Bush saying, okay, I did it. I was lying when I said I didn't know the leaker because it was me all along. But it's not a crime or nothing because I'm the president and stuff. So there's an admission here that he lied. There's an admission here that he committed what he himself called a serious crime. And the press keeps defending him and repeating, well, no crime was committed. Imagine if Clinton had done this. Let's see, this is revealed about, 12 hours ago? Clinton would be in front of a firing squad right now, wouldn't he? Bush outed a NOC CIA agent. He put that agent and all of her contacts at risk. He put our national security at risk. Do you know one of the things that Valerie Plame was working on was the development of the nuclear programs in Iran. In Iran. However the hell you say it. In Persia. That's what she was working on. So they got a twofer here. Not only did they go after her husband, but in exposing her and all of her contacts, that blew whatever credible information could be gathered about the truth of the nuclear program in Iran so that Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Rice could begin spinning their lies. That's called collateral advantage. So Bush ruined decades of national security work on Iran and God knows what else because he was all head up at Ambassador Wilson for exposing his State of the Union lies about uranium from Niger. This is a man who breached national security for political purposes. Bill Clinton would be in front of a firing squad. This from a man who talks about ethics, and he's a Christian, and how he hates partisan games, and he's a Christian, and how he's the only one you can trust to protect the homeland, and he's a Christian, while he's working to make Americans less secure by undermining the CIA for his own petty political revenge. Dear God, what's it going to take? What's it going to take? So, neocons, Bush supporters, you little Republican, brain-dead, Bible-beating half-wits that are out there listening to the program, you still believe he's worried about your safety? you still think George Bush is going to protect you? Outing a CIA agent is another gift, and that agent's contacts is another gift to Al-Qaeda or Al-Shmaida or whoever the hell wants to come and get you, you freak. It's a gift! Right up there with this big Al-Qaeda recruiting program in Iraq. So let me ask you something, Mr. Bush supporter. What are you going to do when they come for you? They're coming, you know. Al-Qaeda's coming. They're coming. They're coming to come and snatch up. He just continues to put all of us Americans at risk, and you lemmings applaud. And when one man, like this guy in Charlotte, has the courage to stand up and call this son of a bitch a liar, and to ask him, do you ever feel shame? People boo him. Of course, if you've ever spent any time in Charlotte, North Carolina, you would understand why they booed him. This is a very serious day. It's not being treated with the gravity, the gravitas that it deserves. The whore press is doing its job beautifully today. Beautifully. For the Bush crime family. All right, let's go back to some phone calls. Start with Scott, who's calling from North Carolina. Scott, welcome to the program.
Hey, it's really a pleasure to talk to you, Mike.
Pleasure's all mine, sir.
You know, it's amazing the stark contrast of news events involving the Tar Heel State this week. On the one hand, this ugliness is defined, you know, you're talking about the mean-spirited nature of the country these days, the ugliness of all that stuff out of Durham with the lacrosse team out of Duke.
Oh, my God.
And in contrast, the courage of the guy at the news conference down in Charlotte, you know, mm-hmm. for something to happen here in the Piedmont Triad now. But, you know, yeah. It's just, I've been here in North Carolina now, Mike, for 8 years, actually, today. Moved down here to pursue radio work, of all things. And, you know, I was just thinking back about how things have been and how things have changed over the last several years. I recall distinctly, you know, in thinking about this this leak stuff, and now just add this really to the list, the long list mm-hmm. of things to come out of these Bush people. And I remember, and I know this is going to sound like a line and people are going to say, oh, right, sure. But I distinctly remember back in 2000, at the time of the election, before 9/11, before the Iraq War, before all this stuff, I remember harping, you know, to coworkers and people saying, you know, at the time Bush got elected, right after he got elected, I said, look, this man scares me. I can't articulate exactly why, except for the fact that, you know, all I know about him at the time, this was 2000, of course, is that he presides over a state that revels in grinding people through death row into the death chamber in an assembly line fashion. And that alone gave me a really weird feeling. I said, this guy is just, it's scary. And I said this in 2000, and people are just, oh, you're just being ridiculous, you're left-wing, you're this, you're that, he's a religious guy, he's going to bring this wonderful dignity back to the office. And now, it's like a bunch of rotten apples just falling out of the tree. Mm-hmm. I feel like there was some, I know, again, this might sound like a line or something, but I swear, I'm telling you, that I was harping on this way back then, and, you know, I kind of took a lot of heat for it.
No, I believe you. I've said on this program back in 1999, in 2000, when I was still at WLS in Chicago, I said the same thing, that this the George Bush and everyone connected to him had the potential to take this country right into the sewer or into the kind of mass death that these bastards have accomplished now. So, yeah, I don't disbelieve or discount what you're saying at all. Scott, thanks a lot for checking in. I got to move on. All right,
absolutely.
Sir. I appreciate it.
I just want to chime in there because I've been your producer for 6 years now. And as long as I've been doing this, I remember before Bush was appointed president in your WLS days and then your IE America days, you know, I have to say you had some uncanny predictions about the wars that we were going to get into, the surplus that was going to be squandered, the acts of terror that were likely to come. I mean, it was almost like, you know, you had some kind of psychic moments going on, but I think there's some archives at White Rose Society of some of those programs and the deep, deep files where anybody who was thinking and paying attention could look at this and say, oh, my God, you know, literally, it's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know something else that's going on just below the radar? This was in, I'll share it with you when we come back. It was in the Cleveland Plain Dealer today. I want to get more of your comments on this Libby Cheney Bush stuff, and I'm going to drop this other thing in the mix. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America. I'm just to the left of the Christian right. I've got a large cross. Do you have a light? You're all compassionate. Serve as my friend. The last thing I want to do is tax and spend. Guns are great. They make us all safe. Except, of course, for the high death rate. Abortion's wrong. Capital punishment's right.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
know who leaked. If anybody's got any information, they ought to take it to the Justice Department so we can find out the leaker.
Why is everybody so afraid of drugs? Man, they afraid of what's a drug gonna do to us. Wow. Gonna be in no cup.
It's about 9 before the hour. Email here from Gene in Oregon. Mike, didn't Daddy Bush say that blowing a CIA agent's cover is a treasonable offense? So even by Rethug standards, shouldn't the boy king be swinging from a rope? If we ever get back in power, the Republican Party should be banned from banished from politics for the next 900 years. Just my brain being stupidly logical again. Signed, Gene in Oregon.
Ah, but see, he declassified her right before he outed her. So it's all okay.
What did George Bush do? Did he get down on his knees and say, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm declassifying Valerie Klein. Thank you very much. Amen. Goodbye.
Yeah, like the magic beans. He just threw some pixie dust around and said, poof, you're declassified. Now I'm going to out you because I'm PO'd at your husband. Yeah, that was about it.
Do you want to see something very, very, very interesting? Matter of fact, it's scary. Go to the website of our friends over at Head On Radio. It's headonradionetwork.com. Headonradionetwork.com. Look on the main page right there. As soon as you click on it, there's a picture of Harry Taylor, the guy challenging Bush in Charlotte, North Carolina today. And then you scroll down just a tiny bit, and there's the Norman Rockwell painting, Freedom of Speech. Take a look at this. You got to see this. You got to see it. Kathy, bring it up on your screen. You got to see this. Headonradionetwork.com. Check it out. Check it out. Okay, back to your phone calls here very quickly. Michael is calling from Memphis. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hey, nice to. Wow, this is exciting. It's the first time I've ever been on the radio. But anyway, Michael, I love the show, but
Thank you.
Are two things that just... Bush is a pimple on the ass of humanity, and there's two things that really burn me up. You ever heard of Lonesome Death of Hattie Carroll, Now It's Not the Time for Your Tears? Well, the guy's going to get out of this because Congress, and I hope the Republican Congress is listening, Congress is a bunch of... They're all left-linked. And they're all gutless. He's going to get away with it. And the second thing is, these morons are going to probably elect another Republican. It's unfortunate. I hope I'm wrong, but that's what's scary. Remember when Clinton had his haircut on Air Force One and
mm-hmm.
people went nuts about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, what's wrong with this country, Michael? What's wrong with it?
I've got my ideas what's wrong with it. We're all caught up in, at least those of us who make decisions are all caught up in the supernaturalism. That's A. B, most people have just become disinterested in politics because they don't understand what they're about to lose. I don't know. I don't know. I share your concern.
Bush and Cheney, I'm going to say one more thing. I know you've got a lot to go over here. Bush and Cheney have given corporate America a free-for-all in the middle class. They're destroying the middle class.
They are indeed.
And this is just, you know.
I hear you. I hear you loud and clear.
But,
loud and clear.
Mike, let me get out of your way, buddy. I know you're tired and full speed ahead.
All right, Michael, call back anytime you like. Thanks for checking in. Paul is calling from Fort Lauderdale. Hey, Paul.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine.
Listen, there's a question I have, and I listen to you on occasion when I can stay up. I'm listening to you late at night here
uh-huh.
in Fort Lauderdale, and when George the Dope ran this thing by, if he said that he did it, that he indeed declassified and then...
Right.
Expose this field agent. We were ostensibly at war. I mean, isn't there something about? Didn't he break the
Well, this was
Sedition Act or something like that.
Well, you'd think. I think the The outing of Valerie Plame began before the invasion of Iraq because Joe Wilson, or don't forget, Valerie Plame's husband was the one who said that there was no truth to the fact that this country in Africa had provided so-called yellow cake uranium for the production of nuclear weapons in Iraq. So,
yeah,
but I hear what you're saying. If this isn't treason, I don't know what is. It certainly
it seems obvious to me. I don't get it. How
it seems like the man and his administration constantly works against the best interests of the United States. They have bankrupted the country. They put us very near bankruptcy. They're destroying the natural environment. They have absolutely prostituted our military and turned it into something ugly. They have denigrated our veterans. Where's the limit? Is there no limit to what these people can do?
I mean, he and they seem to get away with all of it. But I don't know how he's going to get around this. I don't. Maybe you know. Is this this treasonous? Breaking the parameters of the Sedition Act, that applies to everyone, does it not?
Well, you'd think. Paul, thanks. We got a break coming here. Thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate your call. He ruined our global reputation, not Paul, Bush. Thumbed his nose at the UN and the world, screwed with free markets, whatever's left of them, traded nukes for mangoes, started illegal wars, dumped on our veterans, said to hell with our teachers, said to hell with our students. What? What does it take? We'll be back after the break. Go to headonradionetwork.com and look at these two pictures. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
On Air America Radio.
You know when you open a birthday card from Grandma? She's usually good for, what, like $5? Well, now imagine that you have 100 grandmas. It feels like that.
Have you ever gotten out of your car and something catches your eye on the ground? You walk over and find a $5 bill? Okay, now pretend you find a $495 bill next to it. It's just like that.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
Hey, True Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Are you as alarmed as I am by the assault on our freedoms by the religious right? An essential element of freedom is the right to choose or reject religious beliefs. And this is why I fully support the Freedom From Religion Foundation as it takes the lead in challenging the growing threat from the religious right in the United States. If you'd like further information on the dangers of living in a theocracy, please call 800-335-4021. 800-335-4021 or visit their website, ffrf.org.
I'm Jeff Weiser. Former New York Mayor Rudolph Giuliani recounted the horrors of the 9/11 attacks at the sentencing trial of Al-Qaeda conspirators Icarus Moussaoui. Giuliani described watching people jump to their deaths from the burning World Trade Center towers before the buildings collapsed. The proceedings resume on Monday. U.S. senators have reached an agreement paving the way for a sweeping reform of the nation's immigration laws. Senator Saxby Chambliss, a Georgia Republican, is voicing displeasure with the measure because, he says, it clears the way for amnesty for illegal aliens.
That the amnesty provision is now made very clear. And the amnesty provision is simply that if you're here, if you've been here for more than 2 years, you've got a direct pathway to citizenship.
Chambliss says he thinks compromise is still possible and that a bill can be crafted that will not grant amnesty and, in his words, has compassion for folks who have come here for the right reasons. Democratic Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney apologized on the floor of the House Thursday for an altercation with a U.S. Capitol Police officer. Capitol Police alleged that she struck an officer who confronted her when she was stopped while trying to enter a House office building. Prior to her apology, McKinney repeatedly called the incident a case of racial profiling. Summer could bring good news for the airline industry, but bad news for its passengers. An analyst with Standard & Poor's says a strong economy and fewer seats on the planes could lead to packed aircraft and possibly higher ticket prices this summer. Another analyst says a 7 to 8% rise in passenger traffic from last year will likely result in delays and frustration among travelers. American Airlines Chief Financial Officer Thomas Horton said his airline won't shy away from packing its planes. The White House was full of NCAA champions Thursday. President Bush honored the Florida Gators for their recent NCAA men's basketball crown, and other teams were honored, including the West Point Championship men's rifle team, who the president asked to do him a favor.
If you happen to be walking around and running into the vice president... you might give him a few pointers.
You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
We'll be right back.
Okay. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Okay, what you have to do is hold up from trying to go to headonradionetwork.com. You all have crashed the site. I've gotten a bunch of emails here from people who said I get an error message, and when I try to go there, it won't load now. So give it a rest. You all have the right address, headonradionetwork.com. That is the correct address. But just give it a few minutes. I'm sorry, Bob. I'm sorry, Ben. If you were just listening to our news, I don't know by our news, I mean what is put out there by Air America Radio Network. And I would assume you probably have to be listening online, or maybe not, to hear Air America Radio Network news. But if you were listening, you heard the lead story was about Giuliani testifying in the penalty phase of Moussaoui's trial. And Kristen Breitweiser, one of the Jersey girls, wrote this today at Huffington Post. She is one of the women who lost her husband. Her husband was killed in the attack on the trade towers. This is what she wrote. Can someone please explain to me why Rudy Giuliani gets to give a victim's impact statement at the Moussaoui penalty phase hearing? Which family member did Giuliani lose in the attacks? Forgive me, but Giuliani is the person responsible for deciding to locate New York City's Emergency Command Center and the World Trade Center, along with a diesel fuel tank, against the advice of certain fire officials, before 9/11. Locating the city's Emergency Command Center in a known Al-Qaeda target, the towers were struck in 1993 and Al-Qaeda publicly promised to return to finish the job, was a colossal failure in judgment on his part that cost hundreds of lives on September 11th. During the attacks, because the command center was rendered inoperable, New York City had no clear chain of command and no physical command structure in place to coordinate the emergency response. Frankly, the whole reason Giuliani was on television all day and available for interviews was because he was scrambling around the streets trying to set up a command post, since the one he had designed and located was paralyzed during the attacks. Anyone who wants to witness the results of New York City's abysmal emergency response to the attacks need only listen to the recently released 9/11 tapes that chillingly reveal a total lack of coordination and flow of vital life-saving information plaguing the city and its emergency response apparatus that day. Furthermore, Giuliani is also responsible for giving the Fire Department of New York inoperable Motorola radios. This, too, cost hundreds of lives when firemen did not hear the order to evacuate the towers prior to their collapse. How is a man who is responsible for such horrific and deadly judgments invited to give a victim's impact statement as to how 9/11 impacted him? By these standards, should I expect Condoleezza Rice, Ms. Nobody knew planes could be used as missiles, George Tenet, Mr. I failed to tell the FBI for 18 months that two known Al-Qaeda killers were living in San Diego and planning the attacks, and perhaps George Tenet, Mr. I was reading a story about a pet goat, or George Bush, I was reading a story about a pet goat while thousands of people perished and burned alive in the World Trade Center because I didn't want to alarm the school children. Should I ask them to provide victims' impact statements as well? Yeah, I hear you. I think one of the most vicious misrepresentations of the truth subsequent to the attack on September 11th was the role Rudy Giuliani played. An inept, out of his element, totally incompetent Republican. And as Karen Breitweiser just wrote at Huffington Post, what the hell is he doing there? Giving a victim's impact statement. Now, the other item, this is in the Cleveland Plain Dealer today. Just a couple of quotes from the article. After the 2004 presidential election, Cuyahoga County election workers, that's Cleveland, secretly skirted rules designed to make sure all votes were counted correctly as special prosecutor charges. While there is no evidence of vote fraud, the prosecutor said their efforts were aimed at avoiding an expensive and very public hand recount of all votes cast. Three top county elections officials have been indicted, and Erie County Prosecutor Kevin Baxter says more indictments are possible. Baxter charges that Cuyahoga election workers, mindful of the month-long recount in Florida in 2000, not only ignored the safeguards, but worked to defeat them during Ohio's 2004 recount. Candidates for president from the Green and Libertarian parties requested the Ohio recount. But the fix was in at the Cuyahoga Elections Board, Baxter charges. Now, he goes on to say, and I like the way the plain dealer, I'm being sarcastic, a headline says, workers accused of fudging 04 recount. Fudging. Prosecutor says Cuyahoga skirted the rules. What happened was, once the vote totals were challenged, because it was obviously a fraud, once again, in Cuyahoga County, the election workers pre-recounted. They went in under the cloak of darkness. They picked a few precincts where the vote count equaled what was recorded on the machines, and then used that when they came back the next day to publicly recount. What they were doing is recounting a pre-counted selection that they had picked to prove that they didn't have to sit there and go through an entire state recount. This is astonishing. Astonishing. They did the hand count of 3% of the votes in 34 of the 1,400 precincts, and when the totals matched, the recount was said, okay, we don't need to go any further. Now, for the people who are keeping track of this, and I know we don't talk about it enough on this program, I understand. I don't know what the hell to do sometimes. I mean, what are we supposed to talk about? Bush's wars? Bush's lies? The way the election was stolen in 2004, the way the elections were stolen in 2002, the way the election was stolen in 2000, I don't know what the hell to do. It's overwhelming. Isn't it overwhelming for you? I don't know what to do with this stuff. I know we don't talk about it enough. I wish there were other elements of in media that talked about it. I wish it didn't fall on the backs of a few liberal talk show hosts. Don't get me wrong. I'm not bitching. I'm not complaining. It just makes me furious that there's only a handful of people that you can tune in to hear this stuff. Whether it's Bob Kincaid or Randy Rhodes or Tom Hartman or me or Janine and Sam or Jesus, I don't know. The people not even connected with this network. They're out there. And the 9/11 thing, the lies and deceit that this Bush crime family pulled off against the American people. I just wish that I wish more people in so-called liberal media, and they're out there, would talk about this stuff. I wish it just didn't fall on the backs of a handful of us. You know what I'm saying? And I say that not because I'm whining, but because if more people talked about these issues, it would reach a much larger audience. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. And if enough people if heard the truth, maybe there would be some response. Maybe something would happen. You know, I'm sitting here thinking, why? I mean, why are we waiting for the possibility the Democrats could retake both houses in 06 and then impeach these sons of bitches that are destroying America? Why? I think about what the folks who are against this racist anti-immigration stuff, they've been out in the streets by the hundreds of thousands. The largest demonstration in California's history. In its history. Was against this Sensenbrenner resolution and these racist pig bastards that run the United States House of Representatives. Why can't we do this where it concerns George W. Bush? I don't get it.
George W. and Cheney couldn't win without a slimy trip. To Washington they had to run. States' rights just weren't that much fun. Don't you hate
crap that just keep lying all the time.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Thanks a lot for the ride home.
Hey, no problem, man. Just because you're a sophomore doesn't mean I can't talk to you.
Thanks.
Hey, while you're here, want to take a hit of some weed? Some good stuff. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Okay, here's something to think about. April 15th is around the corner. You only have a few days left to get your taxes done, and you don't even have an appointment at one of those tax prep stores. Don't panic. Log on to TurboTax.com. You just answer simple questions, and TurboTax fills in all the right forms. And when you're done, you can e-file and get confirmation that the IRS received your return. No wonder millions of Americans use TurboTax. And you know what? I bet a lot of them started even later than you.
TurboTax.com. Log on, and you're done.
Flying Monkey Writes Blues, here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
You know, the other thing to consider, if Bush knew And I think it's very clear now that he did know that the information he was giving to the U.S. Congress to get his war resolution was all lies. That is a crime. Lying to Congress is a crime. George W. Bush has committed crimes, or as the Constitution defines it, high crimes and misdemeanors. Why is he still in office? You see, this is where we are. We have not only an illegal president in office, but we have a criminal in office. And by the way, I just got an email from folks associated with Head On Radio. Yeah, y'all crashed that website, but the webmaster has tweaked it and can now handle bigger traffic. So I want you to see this picture comparison, the normal Norman Rockwell picture and the picture of the guy today in Charlotte. So try it again, headonradionetwork.com, headonradionetwork.com. Check it out. I want you to see that picture. All right, back to phones. RB is calling from Canada. RB, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience.
Hey there, Mike. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. About Bush knowing about this, I knew long when it first came out, I figured he did. Because he cut his political teeth with Lee Atwater and all that, running the dirty tricks campaigns that Bush against Dukakis. Remember the Willie Horton? And all that, you know, the vote for Dukakis, all the black criminals who will be let loose and they'll rape you in your bed.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I figured, well, Jesus, you know, I just had this feeling that him and Rove and Cheney, they're all in this together. They know what's going on. And, you know, if everybody's in on it, they all go down at once. You know what I mean? Like you think criminals, they're thick as thieves. You know, they stick together. So of course he'd know. So he'd know what to deny.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I don't think there's, as far as I'm concerned, there has been no doubt in my mind since this particular event occurred, the release of Valerie Plame's name, that Bush was behind it. Those kinds of revelations are not made without the full knowledge and complicity of the president. It just isn't done. Nobody would take that risk, not even Cheney.
And with this, with Mr. Fitzgerald there, I think this is a message from the establishment saying that I guess we're going to have to take this guy down because he's gone too far. Because he, you know, Fitzgerald wouldn't go this far. I mean, this is getting right up to the top, isn't it? I mean, he wouldn't be allowed to go this far unless he's the corporatists are a little nervous. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I do know what you're saying, but my mind has been turned into Swiss cheese by these sons of bitches over the past 5 years, going on six, with the attack on this country that they are complicit in, with the destruction of my country, with the destruction of my economy, with the lies and the deceit. I don't know what's true anymore, RB. I have become someone who I am lost in the wilderness like most thinking Americans are lost in the wilderness. We don't know which way to go. We don't know where to turn. We talk about organizing. We talk about getting rid of these bastards, and I hope we do that. But I'm telling you, all this stuff that's been revealed, not just today, but last week and last month and 3 months ago and a year ago and 18 months ago and 2 years ago. You've got a population just south of you, pal, that is either Christian fanatics or a bunch of people who are wandering around going, what the hell are we supposed to do?
Well, I think it's a groundswell starting now. I mean, there's no getting around it, and I think they're desperate enough to try anything. But I just want to give a shout-out to Democratic Underground there, Lincoln McGrath and Relps and all them. Thanks for everything. And to ProgressiveIndependent.com, give them a shout-out, too. And to you, Mike, thanks for keep speaking the truth. We gotta do something. I mean, you just can't sit here and let it happen.
Well, I hear you. Thanks for checking.
Bye.
All right, thanks, RB. Ed is calling from Seattle. Ed, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, I just want to say, God, you're godsend, you and your wife, for the work you do here. Without you, we would be lost.
Well, we do a lot of it so we don't go crazy. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I thank you so much for what you guys do again. I got five sons, Mike. And
five sons?
Yeah, I have five sons.
All right.
And I'm originally from Ohio, Dayton, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And I got three of them that are of age to be in the military, and I won't allow them to go, period.
Good for you. Good for you.
It's just not going to happen. This lying president we had, we've got, I'm just so sick. I was in the military from 72 up until 77.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the Corps. And Mike, the training is bad enough for the guys that have to go through there and become soldiers and Marines like we do. And to go over there and fight in a country which we don't know anything about, And Marines' job is to just fight. That's their job, is to fight.
Right, right.
To go to sweep through and get it done, get it over with. But, my God, Mike, I've heard all kinds of grenades, bombs, any kind of shells go off. I mean, that's part of our training. And who in the heck wants a 2,000-pound bomb dropped on them? I don't know anyone want that. I don't care, especially women, men, women, and children that are innocent. Had nothing to do with Saddam Hussein. What gave this man his party the right to go and do that because they're upset with one person? I'm just so sick, Mike. And I'm over 50 now, Mike. So maybe you can tell me, is there a book you could recommend to me? Because I'm not from the South. But someone, Mike, you got to help me because I don't know what would make.
All right. This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. And Ed, we got a break here. I want you just listen to what people talk about on this program. Don't listen to me so much. I'm the ringmaster. But listen to what people talk about on this program, and you'll hear titles and articles and books that you can get will help you through it. Ed, I got a break. I want you to call back. Thanks a lot for checking in, pal. I appreciate it. We'll be right back.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Must you sacrifice your values to be a successful investor? At Pax World, we don't think so. We offer you the opportunity to invest with your values. We also believe companies meeting higher social and environmental standards are better long-term investments. Pax World, socially responsible mutual fund since 1971. Available with a low $250 minimum investment.
You should consider a fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses before investing. For this and other important information, please obtain a fund prospectus by calling 1-800-767-1729 or online at paxworld.com. Please read the prospectus carefully before investing.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
My name's Rachel, and in 8 years, I'll be an alcoholic.
Kids who drink before age 15 are 5 times more likely to have alcohol problems when they're adults.
I'll start drinking in middle school, and I'll do some things I don't really want to do. So by the time my parents talk to me about it, alcohol won't be my only problem.
So start talking before they start drinking. To learn more, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station.
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
We'll be right back. 26 before the hour. When we left off last night in our reading of George Orwell's 1984, the book by Emmanuel Goldstein was explaining the necessity of war. War is peace, is the explanation that Goldstein is trying to share with the reader. And he makes the point that in the New World Order, East Asia, Eurasia, Oceania, the three superpowers, there is continuous war, and it serves the purpose of the leaders of the three superpowers, but there is never any victories. There are only skirmishes. Certain areas fall back under control of one of the three superpowers at various times, and how this is used to control the populations. We'll pick it up there. Under this lies a fact never mentioned aloud, but tacitly understood and acted upon, namely that the conditions of life in all three superstates are very much the same. In Oceania, the prevailing philosophy is called Ingsoc. In Eurasia, it's called Neo-Bolshevism. And in East Asia, it's called by a Chinese name usually translated as death worship, but perhaps better rendered as obliteration of the self. The citizen of Oceania is not allowed to know anything of the tenets of the other two philosophies, but he is taught to execrate them as barbarous outrages upon morality and common sense. Actually, the three philosophies are barely distinguishable, and the social systems which they support are not distinguishable at all. Everywhere is the same pyramidal structure, the same worship of a semi-divine leader, the same economy existing by and for continuous warfare. It follows that the three superstates not only cannot conquer one another, but would gain no advantage by doing so. On the contrary, as long as they remain in conflict, they prop up one another, like three sheaves of corn. And as usual, the ruling groups of all three powers are simultaneously aware and unaware of what they are doing. Their lives are dedicated to world conquest, but they also know that it is necessary that the war should continue everlastingly and without victory. Meanwhile, the fact that there is no danger of conquest makes possible the denial of reality, which is the special feature of Ingsoc and its rival systems of thought. Here, it is necessary to repeat what has been said earlier, that by becoming continuous, war has fundamentally changed its character. In the past ages, a war, almost by definition, was something that sooner or later came to an end, usually an unmistakable victory or defeat. In the past also, war was one of the main instruments by which human societies were kept in touch with physical reality. All rulers in all ages have tried to impose a false view of the world upon their followers, but they could not afford to encourage any illusion that tended to impair military efficiency. So long as defeat meant the loss of independence, or some other result generally held to be undesirable, the precautions against defeat had to be serious. Physical facts could not be ignored. In philosophy, or religion, or ethics, or politics, two and two might make five. But when one was designing a gun or an airplane, they had to make four. Inefficient nations were always conquered sooner or later, and the struggle for efficiency was inimical to illusions. Moreover, to be efficient, it was necessary to be able to learn from the past, which meant having a fairly accurate idea of what had happened in the past. Newspapers and history books were, of course, always colored and biased, but falsification of the kind that is practiced today would have been impossible. War was a sure safeguard of sanity, and so far as the ruling classes were concerned, it was probably the most important of all safeguards. While wars could be won or lost, no ruling class could be completely irresponsible. But when war becomes literally continuous, it also ceases to be dangerous. When war is continuous, there's no such thing as military necessity. Technical progress can cease, and the most palpable facts can be denied or disregarded. As we have seen, researches that could be called scientific are still carried out for the purposes of war, but they are essentially a kind of daydreaming, and their failure to show results is not important. Efficiency, even military efficiency, is no longer needed. Nothing is efficient in Oceania, except the thought police. Since each of the three superstates is unconquerable, each is in effect a separate universe within which almost any perversion of thought can be safely practiced. Reality only exerts its pressure through the needs of everyday life, the need to eat and drink, to get shelter and clothing, to avoid swallowing poison or stepping out of top-story windows and the like. Between life and death, and between physical pleasure and physical pain, there is still a distinction, but that is all. Cut off from contact with the outer world and with the past, the citizens of Oceania are like a man in interstellar space who has no way of knowing which direction is up and which is down. The rulers of such a state are absolute, as the pharaohs or the Caesars could not be. They are obliged to prevent their followers from starving to death in numbers large enough to be inconvenient, and they are obliged to remain at the same low level of military technique as their rivals, but once that minimum is achieved, they can twist reality into whatever shape they choose. The war, therefore, if we judge it by the standards of previous wars, is merely an imposture. It is like the battles between certain ruminant animals whose horns are set at such an angle that they are incapable of hurting one another. But though it is unreal, it is not meaningless. It eats up the surplus of consumable goods, and it helps to preserve the special mental atmosphere that a hierarchical society needs. War, it will be seen, is now a purely internal affair. In the past, the ruling groups of all countries, although they might recognize their common interest and therefore limit the destructiveness of war, did fight against one another, and the victor always plundered the vanquished. In our own day, they are not fighting against one another at all. The war is waged by each ruling group against its own subjects, and the object of the war is not to make or prevent conquests of territory, but to keep the structure of society intact. The very word war, therefore, has become misleading. It would probably be accurate to say that by becoming continuous, war has ceased to exist. The peculiar pressure that exerted on human beings between the Neolithic Age and the early 20th century has disappeared and been replaced by something quite different. The effect would be much the same if the three superstates, instead of fighting one another, should agree to live in perpetual peace, each inviolate within its own boundaries. For in that case, each would still be a self-contained universe, freed forever from the sobering influence of external danger. A peace that was truly permanent would be the same as a permanent war. This, although the vast majority of party members understand it only in a shallower sense, is the inner meaning of the party slogan, "War is peace." Winston stopped reading for a moment. Somewhere in remote distance, a rocket bomb thundered. The blissful feeling of being alone with a forbidden book in a room with no telescreen had not worn off. Solitude and safety were physical sensations mixed up somehow with the tiredness of his body, the softness of the chair, the touch of the faint breeze from the window that played upon his cheek. The book fascinated him, or more exactly, it reassured him. In a sense, it told him nothing that was new, but that was part of the attraction. It said what he would have said if it had been possible for him to set his scattered thoughts in order. It was the product of a mind similar to his own, but enormously more powerful, more systematic, less fear-ridden. The best books, he perceived, are those that tell you what you already know. He had just turned back to chapter one when he heard Julia's footsteps on the stair and started out of his chair to meet her. She dumped her brown tool bag on the floor and flung herself into his arms. It was more than a week since they had seen one another. "I've got the book," he said as they disentangled themselves.
"Oh, you've got it? Good,"
she said without much interest, and almost immediately knelt down beside the oil stove to make coffee. They did not return to the subject until they had been in bed for half an hour. The evening was just cool enough to make it worthwhile to pull up the counterpane. From below came the familiar sound of singing and the scrape of boots on the flagstones. The brawny, red-armed woman whom Winston had seen there on his first visit was almost a fixture in the yard. There seemed to be no hour of daylight when she was not marching to and fro between the wash tub and the line, alternately gagging herself with clothes pegs and breaking forth into lusty song. Julia had settled down on her side and seemed to be already on the point of falling asleep. He reached out for the book, which was lying on the floor, and sat up against the bedhead. "We must read it," he said. "You too, all members of the Brotherhood, have to read it."
"You read it,"
she said with her eyes shut.
"Read it aloud. That's the best way. Then you can explain it to me as you go."
The clock's hands said 6, meaning 18. They had 3 or 4 hours ahead of them. He propped the book against his knees and began reading.
America Radio. Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
It's about 10 before the hour. Our program is engineered tonight by Justin Yuen and Jason Isaac in New York. D. Neal is our associate producer. Thanks to Chris in Minnesota, Ben Birch, Jim in Arkansas. Catherine Bay is our music bureau chief. Herb from Mississippi, who calls the program a lot, sent me something here. It's very disturbing. Mike, please read this and tell the listeners how dirty this right wing is. This just shows how low they were sinking, why outing a CIA agent doesn't bother them if they can get away with it. I'm very upset about this. And what he has sent me here is something called, excuse me, it's a piece of racist filth. But I want to share it with you because I think Herb makes a point. It's called a FEMA golden ticket, G-O-L-D apostrophe N, a FEMA golden ticket. Apparently this is circulating around South Mississippi. It says, bearer of this ticket is entitled to one free house, a hot tub, a 60-inch plasma TV, a Hummer H3, maybe pre-owned, a lifetime supply of food, all hair care products, lots of bling-bling, two voter registration cards, and grants holder permission to bitch about not getting what they should be getting. And then in small print, offer void to Republicans, taxpayers, or any productive members of society. Now, for anyone who thinks that George Bush hasn't tapped into that vein of racism that's always like fascism just below the surface in this country, this should be kind of an eye-opener for you. But I know most people do understand that. George Bush has a way of promoting racism that is no credit to him. It's just very subtle, but it hits the target dead on. It's the racism. It's the homophobic attitude. It's the anti-immigrant attitude. It's the anti-progressive, anti-liberal attitude that is transmitted so easily to some of these fanatics that make up his fan base by a wink or a nudge or a look or a smirk. If there's anything George Bush is a master of, and there is only one thing, it's this disgusting smirk that he uses to transmit all sorts of information about himself, about who he is, and what he wants to connect to his fan base. So, anyway, FEMA golden ticket. Yeah, you know, I live in the South, and sometimes I don't know. It's I just want to go get my pickup truck and my shotgun and drive someplace and open fire. You know what we need to do, Kathy? We need to go out here to the Roswell City dump again, like we have done before, and take I'll take the .22 this time. You can have the .30-06, and we'll go out and kill us some rats. There's nothing like a good old fashioned rat killing, especially them great big old ones. Roswell dump is not too far from Chattahoochee River, and at least what we call the Roswell dump. And you can sit out there on the back of the pickup truck, especially on a summer evening, and just wait for those suckers to come out. And pew, 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 pew. We always argue that Kathy doesn't like the .22 because it, you know, it just doesn't have that kick. She always wants the 30 caliber deer rifle, and we don't hunt deer, you know, not yet. We will eventually when society breaks down completely. You can have the .30-06. I don't care. Mike is calling from Santa Fe. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hi there, Mike. This
hey.
Is good to talk to you. I often end up calling at the end of the night when I get all wound up.
I hear you.
But a couple weeks ago, a few weeks back, you were calling for a universal soundbite. And I'm an equal opportunity maligner. I really think we ought to vote them all out.
Well, I not all of them. There's some good Democrats. There's some Democrats that have courage and decency and believe in justice.
Well, may the best of them survive, but
right.
The vast majority of them are bought and paid for. And, yeah, the Republicans are running amok, but don't tell me the Democrats couldn't at least try to stop them.
Well, that's my feeling. I can't understand if I just look at it from a partisan / logical point of view, I can't understand why any Democrat would vote for anything that's sponsored by a Republican, knowing full well that everything sponsored by a Republican is designed to benefit a very small segment of the population of this country. So, yeah, you know, I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying that maybe 80% of the Democrats, the whole office, are corrupt, but there's a good 20% that are not, and those people I deeply respect because they're managing to hold on in a system that denies them a voice. About the only thing they could do would be to take hand grenades into the U.S. House of Representatives. And if Cynthia McKinney can't get through without her button on, can you imagine what would happen if they try to walk in with grenades? Right?
I agree.
All right.
But thanks for allowing me to call.
Mike, my pleasure. Call anytime. Thank you. Jake is calling from L.A. Jake, I've got about a minute here, pal.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Oh, man, I could be doing better. Listen, I heard you talking earlier, or actually I heard your producer mention that you had made some predictions back in before the election of 2000. In October of 2000, I was telling anybody who would listen, which was maybe about one in about every 50 people, that if we elected Bush, that we'd be at war in about 2 years. And I was, if you don't count 9/11 and you don't count Afghanistan, you know, I was off by 2 months. March, that's
yeah.
26.
Yeah, well, Bush, I think, made it clear his entire life, at least his political life that I've been aware of, that he had the capacity to be an absolutely amoral killer. The execution of Carla Faye Tucker was I think, an example that leaped out at me when he signed her death warrant and said, "Oh, save me, I'm a born-again Christian, save me.
That.
Yeah. Dirty, rotten bastard.
But, you know, I mean, it all got prefaced last week for me when I saw two documentaries, one which my mom kind of turned me on to, which surprised me because she calls herself a Republican. Yeah. Have you heard of Loose Change?
Oh, yeah.
Corporation.
Yeah, when you look at Loose Change, look at the second version. The second version.
I bought it off eBay. You can get it for like $3.
Well, way to go. Jake, I got to leave it there. I'm sorry. We're just flat out of time, pal. I hope you call back sometime when I got more time. I appreciate you checking in. Thanks for participating tonight, however you did that. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Oh, dude, I'm in trouble.
Why?
I haven't done my taxes yet. I don't have an appointment anywhere. I can't figure out the forms for myself. I'm done for.
Whoa, relax.
I'm going to have to change my name and leave the country.
Just go to TurboTax.com. They have everything you need to get your taxes done quickly.
TurboTax.com?
Yep. You just answer simple questions and it fills in all the right forms. It checks for errors and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Sounds easy.
You can even e-file and get confirmation that the IRS received your return.
Well, that sounds a lot easier than what I was planning.
Learn more at TurboTax.com. Log on and you're done.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4-K-9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.